Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? And I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. What are we getting another episode for? And it's a last minute thing. You know, while I was watching Saturday Night Main Event, I was like, do I want to do a review show? And I wanted to, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I don't want to because there's not much to review here. So this, I'm just going to sort of articulate what the title suggests, that y'all have to reevaluate it. And when I say y'all, I mean casual fans. But I also saw a lot of the IWC sort of complaining about this, about Saturday Night Main Event. And so y'all is to the whole IWC. Now, I have this perspective on the IWC, right? So there are certain people in the casual fan base, and they have the right to this opinion, and I kind of see where they're coming from. Let's see, the IWC as this one group over here, and then the casual wrestling community as this other group over here, and they're two separate groups. I have news for you. I disagree. I think you have the overarching IWC, the whole internet wrestling community, everyone on the internet that talks about wrestling, that's the IWC. In that hierarchy, in that category of internet wrestling community, is the hardcore fans and then the casual wrestling community, but they're all under the same umbrella as IWC. So when I say, and I want to define that because terms can get confusing if you don't define terms. And people use different meanings to the same terms, right? So I could say IWC and mean what I just described to you. And others will say IWC as the hardcore fan base and doesn't include the casuals. When I'm talking and I say y'all, I mean the whole IWC, casual, hardcore, watch everything that says wrestling on the marquee. That's who I'm talking to, right? Is just anyone who pays attention to wrestling, no matter how much you view, how you identify yourself as hardcore or casual. I'm talking to the whole fan base. Y'all have to reevaluate how you view this event, right? And when they do it, there's two more scheduled that I know of, and there'll probably be another two by the end of the year. we have to view these through a lens of what they really are. And as the thumbnail on YouTube says, they are simply just a glorified house show. But before we get into breaking down that, as always, go to the links in the description, join the Discord page, support the podcast by buying WWE merch through our affiliate link, booking trips through Expedia, or if you want to rep the Slapping Mead Wrestling Podcast, buy some of our merch. That's at slappingmeadwrestling.com. So let's break that down. Let's break down what this was. And I don't really have the intention of breaking down every single match. Because if we're being honest, nothing happened last night. Not a single thing happened last night that benefited anything, right? And so there, I think there's a twofold purpose for running this event, right? There's a twofold purpose that I see why they run Saturday Night Main Event and what its intention is within the WWE product base, right? And so the first is I think to just have a special on NBC on live broadcast television for the nation to see, as well as the world on Peacock, right? For the world to see, but to try to get the more casual fans who tune into NBC at 8 o'clock on Saturday nights, expecting like Saturday Night Live, and not getting that, but instead getting a WWE product, and maybe trying to get some of that residual viewership to the product. And so I think that's the first thing. It's just another avenue to try to create more product. The second, and I think the most important to realize, is the reason they run these either, you know, the first one was run 14 days after, or like 2 weeks after War Games, and this one was the week before Royal Rumble. And so, again, like when I talked about them running the other two around AEW events, they're also like a week or two before or after what probably will be Saudi Arabia and Money in the Bank. That these are going to be matches that are sort of overflow from the pay-per-view or the PLE. That, so, you know, the Rhea versus Nia wasn't going to happen on Royal Rumble. Well, let's have it happen the week before. Braun versus Sheamus isn't, there's not enough time to put that on the Royal Rumble. So let's put that on the week before. Jacob and Braun Strowman. No, we're not going to put that on Royal Rumble. We'll do that the week before. And it's the runoff of what's not going to make the PLE, that is either, you know, ahead of or behind or following up, right? Excuse me. And so I think that is the major purpose, is to essentially run a PLE without calling it a PLE. And it's one of those things where, like, okay, Braun was probably never going to lose the title to Sheamus, whether it was on Rumble or not. So we'll just have the match. Sheamus loses again, and we move forward, right? But at the end, these are simply just glorified house shows. They're nostalgia acts that are meant to sort of bring in a older fan base back to watching the product, and at the same time create a situation where maybe newer fans or fans who haven't seen wrestling in a while can tune back in as they're building this new viewership on Netflix, and they're sort of dominating the wrestling space in terms of what's on TV, what's on social media. That's what this is, right? And so you start with Rhea and Nia, and there was no way in hell Rhea loses the title here, right? Like, anyone who understands the story, and I saw the tweet, right? For anyone complaining about the event, this tweet sort of sums that up, right? This is from some Anon account, complaining about Saturday Night Main Event, or complaining that Saturday Night Main Event was predictable just means the finishes were logical. We are 1 week from the Royal Rumble and less than 3 months from WrestleMania. You don't hotshot random angles or title changes for the sake of shock TV. 100%. This has been my entire point of view in what I've been trying to explain with my WrestleMania match predictions, right? Especially like John Cena, right? So everyone wanted the hotshot and sort of hot wire a Jey Uso victory because Gunther's boring and he doesn't get a pop, and we need to take the title off of him. And guys, we're headed there. We're headed there. But you have to let you can't just sort of come in, hotwire the vehicle and hotwire Jey Uso as champion and then expect it to work a week before the Rumble and 2.5 months away from Mania, and expect us to believe in the storyline that you could, because I've always asked that question. I asked this question, I believe it was Friday, right? If Jey Uso won, what's next? If Jey Uso were to win the title, the question logically that you have to ask is, okay, then what's next? And there isn't anyone built up. There isn't a story put in place, right? And so what's going to have to happen is, right, a logical way to tell stories is when one event happens, you have that next event already sort of built up and something that logically can fit in and make sense, right? And so there's nothing right now that makes sense for Jey Uso to win the title. There is something that makes sense for Gunther to retain, and there's several ways you could go about this, right? You could go about, you know, I think the most logical, and I think the most simple, and I know a lot of people are like, well, I just don't, you know, understand why you're so passionately hooked on the John Cena winning, right? And at first I thought I was maybe the only one who felt this way. I'm not a big fan of just like, you know, trusting in accounts on Twitter or X, but there's one, I'm going to say the name, and the hardcore IWC is probably going to roll their eyes. I think this dude's pretty, you know, I don't agree with everything he says. Like, he's a huge Mercedes Moné fan. He thinks Mercedes Moné / Sasha Banks is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. I thoroughly disagree with that take from him. But his name is Jobber. And he agrees with me that John Cena's winning the Rumble, right? I saw him make a post yesterday, sort of, you know, trying to engage trying to farm some engagement to his tweets. And he posted something along the lines of like, so who wins the Rumble? I'm saying Cena and Charlotte, right? Which is exactly who I believe wins the respective Rumbles, right? And this is part of why I was so hooked on Cena winning, is that that's the next logical step in this storyline, right? You have Cena come in, win the Rumble, immediately get sort of stopped in his tracks. Like, say he wins Rumble next Saturday, right? The Monday following Rumble, so February 3rd, you have Cena in the ring. He wins the Rumble. He's hyping up. Okay, he's hyping up the two matches, right? And he's hyping up, oh, maybe I can pick Cody and we can have this match, right? And he's hyping it up. And then he's interrupted by Gunther, right? And Gunther says, congratulations, John. This, that, and the, just know that, you know, I'm better than you. You have four moves. You're a legend. You're old. You're past your prime. I'm the greatest in the ring. So you may want to think twice about choosing me. And then that's the story we follow, is Cena proving to Gunther, I can beat you. And it's a way to do a couple things. First off, I think Cena, putting Cena and someone, the talent of Cena, in the ring with someone like Gunther for promo battles can make Gunther better. I do. I think it could, I mean, having Gunther be exposed by John Cena, I think, you know, could benefit Gunther. But I also think, what's the better way? Like, so I have a business reason as well as to why I think John Cena wins the Rumble, right? We're approaching the time of the year post-Mania. Like, so we're right now, we're sort of in like the hot season of wrestling, right? WrestleMania season is like the hot, a peak in the industry, or in the business, like a peak in WWE's content is WrestleMania season. Heading in the Rumble, the Chamber tends to be a decent PLE. Then you get, you know, really good shows and really good storylines leading up to Mania. Historically, from Mania to SummerSlam, though, that gap in between Mania to SummerSlam, the summertime was historically pretty mid booking, right? Until about a month before, right? SummerSlam. And a lot of that was because the viewership goes down, people are on vacation, people aren't watching, people, right? And so there's not a lot of emphasis on the summer, because a lot of people are sort of just tuning out from wrestling. And so Triple H does a good job of booking in this gap, but what's a more better way than for the first summer on Netflix to promote people to watch your show live? Do you think that putting Gunther on the poster to promote the summer as champion, or Cena? Cena's the bigger guy. Cena's the guy you can promote to get you through the summer, and then you get into SummerSlam and you can have him lose at SummerSlam. I think there's a various amount of options you could go here. You could put over someone like Bron Breakker. You could have the CM Punk feud. You could do, Cena Orton again. There's a various different amount of ways that you can do this feud that will make sense. You put over someone new. You can use a veteran like Punk. You could, again, there's various amounts of ways you could do this. But have Cena get you through what's typically the lull, and then about a month leading into SummerSlam, it tends to pick up, and then it lulls again heading into, August, September, and October. And then the month of November, you start a peak as you head into War Games. And then you have a December that's sort of quiet. And then January starts Mania season again. And so you pick it back up, right? And so for me, I think at SummerSlam, in typically the end of January, beginning of August, is when SummerSlam is, right? You have Cena carry the belt from Mania to SummerSlam, have him lose at SummerSlam. I would personally prefer someone like Brock Lesnar, right? Have Cena issue like an open challenge, have Brock Lesnar come back, answer the open challenge, beat John Cena at SummerSlam, and then have Cena, move into the IC picture. Basically stating, like, this is the last thing I need to do. I won the Rumble, so now I'm tied for most Rumble wins ever with 3. I won 17, so I've had a historical year in my final year. All I need to do is win the IC title. And you could go and to sort of carry the division in the lull between SummerSlam and War Games, you can have Cena run that IC title division, where he spends August and September trying to earn his way in the division. Then you have him at Crown Jewel win the title, and then you get to War Games where he says, this is my last PLE. I'm going to do one final open challenge. If I lose, you crown a new champion. If I win, I retain the title, but I'm going to vacate it, and I'm going to go out as a winner, right? And obviously, he's going to lose, and you have him go out on his back, putting over the next big thing, right? And that's excuse me. That's how I book John Cena's final run, simply because there's a logical step into having him thrusted into the title picture, right? CM Punk, there isn't a logical step for him to fit in either of the title pictures, right? The story of, well, he wins Rumble just doesn't work anymore. I think, and it's part of the reason, like I'll rant on this again, it's part of the reason why the gimmick of Royal Rumble sort of has lost its touch to me. Because a lot of people see Royal Rumble as like, this is the feud that can put over, that could start the next, and I was guilty of even seeing Rumble this way, because I've always said, I thought Bron Breakker was going to win, and it was going to be the feud, him winning this and then going and winning the World Heavyweight title was going to be the rocket strap that sort of set him apart from the rest of the roster. And I kind of still believe that, but at the same time, like, John Cena just means a lot more, right? For where we're at. And we have to understand, and I think we have to realize that Triple H isn't using Royal Rumble to put over the next big thing. The mid-card guy who needs a push to get into the upper card. That's what Money in the Bank is for. Like, Money in the Bank has taken that spot of being we're going to take some mid-card guys, we're going to stick them in a ladder match, one of them is going to win a contract to cash in for a title match, and it's going to be the guy Damian Priest, right? Lower, he's upper mid-card, lower main event scene at the time he wins it. He builds his way up through the story of having the briefcase, becomes very likable as a character and believable to be El Campeon. And then he cashes in and he has a decent title run, right? That's what Royal Rumble, or excuse me, that's what Money in the Bank is for. Royal Rumble's should be used as a way to take established main event stars and put them in a title match, right? And Cena is probably like the most likely candidate, right? And I don't know how Vegas does odds for wrestling events, but the odds are in Cena's favor from what's going on the betting markets. If I was a betting man, I would bet on John Cena. If I was a betting man, I would bet on John Cena winning the Royal Rumble, simply because it's the easiest, but also the most logical way to book the Royal Rumble. Because I think what's going to happen, the story that happens, and we're going to do Royal Rumble predictions on Tuesday with me and Wavy D when we're on the show. But like, what I think is logically going to happen is the major story coming out of this, where we're all hyped because of how stacked this Royal Rumble is. Here's what I'm hype about. I think there's going to be a lot of storytelling in the Royal Rumble, where we set up a lot of potential feuds for Mania in this Rumble match. And so I think this is where we get Jacob and Solo, right? Continuing that the vision that's between them. There's that tension between the two. And I think that's where we get this. I've said this numerous of times, but I think Kofi's going to turn on Xavier. And I think it happens in the Rumble. I think you can build towards other feuds as well in these Rumble matches. Becky versus Lyra, I think it's going to be a feud that gets started in the Rumble. I think that there's a lot of potential to have a very storyline-based Royal Rumble match where the focus is building the future, and I think a lot of that comes in with Rock Roman. So I'm going to go ahead and get a jump start and sort of preview what my belief is going in to be next weekend. And that's going to be, I believe, what ends up happening. We know Roman's going to be in the Rumble. I think he ends up being number 30. And what I think ends up happening is Roman enters at 30 and at some way, shape, or form, the final boss's music starts playing randomly, right? So we get number 30, and imagine this, right? We get number 30, it's Roman Reigns. He's in the Rumble. Let's say the remaining people in the ring, we got Roman. Let's say we got Solo. We got Jacob. We got Cena. And they're sort of thinking they're all the final four, right? And then the countdown starts counting again. And you have Cole on TV or on commentary, or maybe you have someone like Pat on commentary or Corey Graves or Barrett. I don't know what's going to be the team, right? But you have someone like that on commentary selling this off, like, who the hell can this be? Why is the counter going off? We've already got 30 recipients. It gets to zero and the final boss's music plays. Right, and you have Roman sort of do that turn towards the ramp with that facial expression. Roman's really good at selling it. You have The Rock come down. He has a microphone. He says, "I'm the final boss. There's now 31. competitors in this match, and he runs down to the ring, and he just sets himself up a prime spot to win Rumble, right? And you get the maybe a Jacob and a Solo showdown. And what I would book to have happen is, while this is happening, you have like a stare down between Rock and Roman, a stare down, you know, where like Rock where Solo and Jacob are staring down Roman. Rock's music hits and runs down to the ring, and he joins, you know, Fatu and Solo staring down Roman. And in the midst of that stare down, Solo sort of irritated with Fatu, or you could do it the other way around as well. Fatu sort of irritated with Solo, and this is probably be the better way to book it. Fatu, angry with Solo, sort of attacks Solo from behind and eliminates Solo. Tries to eliminate Solo, but Solo reverses and in the process eliminates Jacob Fatu. So you're in your final four, being Solo, Rock, Cena, and Roman. And then what ends up happening as you know, you end up with Jacob Fatu being pissed off and turning into that monster, where he runs back in the ring and beats the shit out of Solo and eliminates Solo. So then you get that moment, that little triangle, the triangle shot, where they have a camera on each person's face, and it's Cena, Rock, and Roman. The three pillars of the last 25 years of wrestling, the three pillars of wrestling fandom, between the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, the PG Era, and the sort of new era, right? The last four eras of wrestling have been pillared by these three guys, right? And you have them stare each other down. And Rock and Roman sort of look at each other, and maybe it's like they, you feel like they're on the same team. They're going to go attack Cena, but the Rock turns on Roman, you can have Roman turn on Rock, because Roman's like, yeah, and then he hits the Superman punch on Rock, and then he hits a spear on Rock. And then throws Rock out of the ring, and then it's down to Roman versus Cena, right? This is how I'm booking, like, and it's not 100% intact how it's going to go, but that's how I feel it's going to go. And then I think what you could then do is Cena eliminates Roman, and you move on with Cena as the winner, and then Gunther comes out and sort of stares down Cena, or you could do that the Raw after, right? But I feel like that's more logical. There's more storyline in that, because you set up Jacob versus Solo, you set up Rock versus Roman, and then you have Cena win the match, right? I think Punk is eliminated towards the middle way of the match by whoever's going to be his story. And I do think the most logical way to do it is what I've already talked about. And I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail again of that match. But that's how I book John Cena winning. And then you have him carry the Summer as champion, and then he loses the title at SummerSlam, and then he wins the IC title in Saudi Arabia, defends it at War Games, where he loses the match, and he goes out with his shoulders on the mat, putting over the next big superstar. Whether it's Carmelo, Trick Williams. I like Ethan Page, because by the time you get to War Games for that IC title, Ethan Page should be on the main roster. And so a Cena-Ethan Page match to put Ethan Page over as Cena's last match, I like that a lot. And so that is where – that's where I stand with that, right? I like this episode. We haven't even talked about a single match yet, right? And that's the point. Nothing really happened, but that's the point, because it is a glorified televised house show, right? So Rhea versus Nia ended exactly the way I thought it was. I don't know if it hit its intention, though. I think the intention of this match was to try to make Rhea look beatable, but I think it actually accomplished the opposite. I think it made Rhea feel more indestructible. So you need someone who can beat the indestructible force. And I'm not exactly sure where that goes. I feel like how this should have happened, how they should have booked this, was a DQ finish where you had Rhea, you know, you had Nia, beating up Rhea, where Rhea was down in the slumps, right? She was getting beat up and she felt beatable. And then Rhea then started to make the comeback, the sort of superhero comeback. And because of that, you had like I would have had like Raquel or Candace or something come down and sort of got in the ring trying to help Nia. And in the, result of that ends up like starting to attack Rhea, which ends in a DQ or something, right? Where Rhea needs to be saved by the bell. Or something along the line. Some sort of DQ or something. Because this just made it feel like she destroyed the hell out of Nia Jax. Nia Jax didn't really put in what I would consider any important form of offense. Right? You get to Braun and Sheamus. And I don't actually recall what happened. Anything special in this match. It was just a hard slobber knocker. Which Braun retains it. Okay. But then you move to Braun Strowman and Fatu. And this made Fatu feel like a monster, but at the same time, like, I don't know if it accomplished anything, right? And then you get to your main event, and this is really the match that everyone's sort of tripping on, which is why I've spent a lot of time talking about this match. But, like, you don't hotshot a title run. So let me genuinely ask the audience listening to this. Jey Uso won this match last night. What's the story going forward? Who's the next big heel that you can put in front of Jey Uso that makes storyline sense? I mean, Drew McIntyre is the only one I can think of, but that seems to be the answer for every babyface is, hey, Drew needs to go face Cody. Now Drew needs to go face a champion Jey Uso. And I don't know. They had their match. Jay and Drew had their match. That story is over. And so, like I'm genuinely curious. Where do you go from here if Jay wins that match? Like, what is the next story? Who's the next big guy? The big heel that goes against Jey Uso? Right? Who is it? There is none. There's nothing set in stone. And that is WWE's issue. Is that they tend to not have that next person in line set up for when a title change happens. What I also think is that a lot of people are very impatient when it comes to long title runs. A lot of people want this to be hot potato with the championships, and I don't think WWE is in the mindset of doing that. I think they want to tell 3, 4, 5, 6 month stories where someone wins a title and they hold that title for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months and feel like a genuine champion. Because we used to have that quick booking, the quick title change under Vince, where like Charlotte would win the title, then Sasha would win it 2 weeks later, then Charlotte would win it back another 2 weeks later. And I'm be honest with you, that was the runs didn't feel as important, right? And so they're really building like the importance of really strong title runs. I enjoy that. I want to say this. I really want to say I've been really harsh on Gunther here the last month, 2 months, 3 months, right? This title run, I've been really rough on Gunther since he became world heavyweight champion. Let me tell you something. The match he ran last night, the promos leading up to this match against Jey Uso, I have no hatred toward, right? I there was a spark watching that match. There's a part of me that was like, okay, he's boring. And he doesn't draw the pop with the crowd. But I think that's the point. I think that's what they want. with his gimmick. I think that's the point. There was some that you know, that Eureka type moment while I was watching, seeing everyone else cry and complain about how little pop Gunther gets. I think that's what they want. Because his entire purpose of being, like, his entire character, and I'm the guy that doesn't care about the crowd reaction. I'm not here to do. The sacredness of the mat. I want to protect, and that's all I care about. I care about the match, and I get it. That doesn't draw the crowd. That doesn't draw the reaction from a casual fan base. But for someone like me, who is casual, but I respect the art form of wrestling. Right. As much as I say this, like, the matches don't matter, the X's and O's don't matter if there's no story. But when there is a story, the X's and O's can be pretty fun. And it is an art form. Like, I respect Cirque du Soleil. I respect circus acts. I respect people who put a lot of time and money and energy into learning a craft and to doing it very well. Right. I respect the art of professional wrestling. It is an art form. And that's what Gunther's whole character is that I am in the ring, the greatest thing. I would disagree with that assessment. I think there are better. And I still think Kevin Owens is a better pro wrestler because he has the character and the gimmick, and I'll get behind him. But from a pure technical standpoint, Gunther is near perfection in every one of his matches, right? He just hits with his moveset. And so I just, there's part of me watching that Gunther match, I was like, this is a great match. But I was also watching it, and everyone was like, oh, this is it. Jay's going to do it. He's going to win. And I'm like, guys, have you never been to a live WWE non-televised show before? This is the exact formula they use in their house shows. The good guy or the non-champion, if he's a good guy, he gets, you know, the close calls 2 to 3 times, and then the champion wins, right? At the end of the day, Saturday night's main event is a televised house show. I don't think title changes are meant to happen on these, because if they did a title change every time they did one of these, they would feel less important. Right. Imagine the first time a title does change hand on this. It's going to feel pretty damn important. But you can't do it on the first or the second one. And I don't think you can even do it on the third one. I think you got to set a consistent pattern of, well, these are just going to be house shows. I'll tune in to watch to see the match. Right? And then you get to, like, the sixth one. Right? Let's say we get to the first Saturday Night Main Event of 2026. And this is like the fifth or sixth Saturday Night Main Event, right? And we get some World Heavyweight title match, and we get a title change. Imagine how important that's going to feel, right? Where everyone's sitting there watching, like, yeah, the champion's going to retain, and then he loses. Imagine how important that feels. And if you build it right, you can really make it a you know, that underdog story. Right, or make a story that really culminates with this moment. I don't think they've done that with Jey Uso. Right, Jey Uso, to me, he has the crowd reaction. He has a decent moveset. I'm not going to hate on his moveset. I just don't think he screams world champion to me. It doesn't scream to me as Jey Uso is the caliber type guy. And then you also have to think, like, When you're the guy of the brand and you're representing Netflix, like, I just don't see, you know, Gunther dropping it to Jay. I think Gunther's a little bit of a cleaner image that they can promote. But I also think, like, the whole gimmick of Gunther is, I'm not on the posters. And I'm not on the press shows. I don't need all of that. I'll see you in the ring where that is my temple. That's where it's sacred to me. And I'll outperform you when the bell rings. You do the rest of the flashy shit. And that's also another thing that sort of leads me to Cena, it's the whole gimmick of Gunther has been, I'm going after the guys that have very limited move sets, very flashy crowd reactions with their entrances. Cena, Uso, you know, it gets that picture across, right? That's what I see. That's why I say Cena, right? So at the end of the day with this event, it accomplished, I guess, what it set out to do. And in that, I'll give it like a B-. It was a fun event to watch. But what I really want to stress is that we can't assume that anything's ever going to happen at these events. They're glorified, televised house shows. And if you've ever gone to a live house show that isn't on TV, right, you understand that a lot of it is just practicing for what's about to be on TV. And this is just on a large audience intended to try to get some sort of new audience involved or maybe get the older people back involved. The last thing I'll say is that I think they had Jesse Ventura on commentary at the wrong match. I think they should have saved him for the main event again. And here's why. Here's why. He did Sheamus versus Braun Breaker. And neither one of them are like genuine heels that he could get by. Like, he's a heel commentator and he's very good at it. And neither one of the two in the ring at the time, you know, he was over there trying to like make Braun Breaker sound like the next big thing, which he is. But he's supposed to be like, oh, he's evil. And he was over there praising like his athleticism, because Breaker's not really a bad guy, right? He's just a guy that's aggressive. And Sheamus isn't a bad guy. He's just the dude, right? And so if they would have had him in the main event and you had Pat McAfee over there yeeting and Michael Cole trying to, you know, over there yeeting, praising Jey Uso, and you just had Jesse Ventura on commentary just blowing smoke up everyone's asses about how good Gunther is and why he's the greatest in-ring talent and just, you know, praising the heel, I think it works a hell of a lot better, right? And that's the way you can get Gunther over, right? And then the last thing I'll say about this contract signing is, I guess there's no stipulation. I kind of forgot that ladder matches are already like no DQ matches, so it probably doesn't need an unsanctioned stipulation. I still think something's going to happen. That's just me not knowing the rules. I didn't realize that all ladder matches were no disqualification. That was brand new information to me. So a miscalculation on my behalf there from just not looking things up. But yeah, this is it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun Royal Rumble week as well. So last, and we'll talk about like surprises and stuff with Royal Rumble when we do our predictions, me and Wavy D on Tuesday. Tune in for that show. It will be posted sometime Tuesday night. Don't forget to join the Discord. If you're listening on audio, please leave us a review. Also, come over to the YouTube, leave a comment and a like on the video. Subscribe to the channel as well. That helps us get into the algorithms. If you're watching on YouTube, go to the either iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, whichever one you use, and go and leave us a review, 5 stars if you love the show. I'm not going to tell you what to do if you hate the show, but we do love that feedback if you can give it to us. Like, share, subscribe, as always. Share with your wrestling friends. Let me know what you think of this episode. And last but not least, make sure you go and get your merch. Support the show in any way, shape, or form. The best way to support, though, is what I just said. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about us. Get us in the algorithms, as that is the best way to get more eyes on the product, which is what we need at this moment, right? I don't need more people buying merch. I would love if you bought merch. I need more viewers right now, because the more viewers, then the more potential of people buying merchandise, right? By the way, on the merch side, I do have a new shirt up there. I have a slogan, right? 90% of wrestling is booking. Well, that's now on a t-shirt if you want to rock that around. That makes no sense, right? You wouldn't wear that in normal life, right? But it is a wrestling shirt, so you can wear it at like a wrestling show. Anyway, that's slappingmeatwrestling.com. slappingmeatwrestling.com. My name's Way Too Deep. You just got a bunch of my opinions on Saturday Night Main Event. Let me know what you all thought about this episode in the Discord or in the comments. And until then, I'll see you on the next episode. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.